dog days of OTAs are here, the second week of Phase 3 of the off-season program. We take a live look at Everbank Field, soon to be TIAA Bank Field. Welcome in, Jaguars.com Live, JP Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today. Here are the big three things on today's show, starting off with the continuation of organized team activities. Two more practices this week, Thursday and Friday. Logan Cook, rookie punter, about to make his way on set shortly. And then a visit with Marcel Darius and top tweets with Ashlyn Sullivan. Brian Sexton, John Osier. What's up, guys? How are you doing?
Next Monday, right? Is that TIAA Bank?
June 4th. That would be next week, right?
I was out walking. I saw the sign is up on the south end zone scoreboard. Looks good.
Yeah, it does. They've done the sides a couple weeks ago and then doing all the rest of them bit by bit.
I believe industry term is rebranded. It's rebranded.
It is. It's a buzzword. Right?
I'm just wondering how many times you'll call it Everbank Field just by force of habit.
Yes. Yeah. June 4th, it's all going to change. TIAA Bank Field, I promise.
You're a pro.
I don't know. You can always say that. Johnny O, what's up, man?
TIAA Bank Field. Here we go. Let's go.
Easier to write, I think, than say. I think saying it will require a little bit of thought. You have to slow down. But to write it, man, it's just the same old speed on the keyboard.
Still the bank to me, baby.
Still the bank, and just outside of the bank on Monday, OTAs continued, OTA number four. A.J. Boye in the house, first time this OTA period. As we've talked about before, not a big storyline that they're not here because it's a voluntary period. But he was back in the building, so that was the story on Monday, A.J. Boye.
Well, it seems, again, I've gone on and on about it. It seems like it is a big story. And like all of NFL Network, it's should Jalen Ramsey be here? Here's what A.J. You know, it's such a slow time, Brian.
It's a 24-hour news cycle.
It's going to get played up. And it's hard this time of year to be heard when you keep saying when August 4th rolls around and we're standing out on the field, nobody is going to remember whether Jalen Ramsey was here or not. Now, we shouldn't be saying that with the rookie punter in the room because he might say, hey, I'm not coming to OTAs. Fat chance,
that,
right?
Yeah.
But for a veteran guy who has proved it, there are some guys who aren't going to come to OTAs each year when they are established guys. And Jalen Ramsey is that guy, and that's okay.
You know, I wish that our brethren in the media would grasp the idea of voluntary. Mm-hmm. I believe there was a list of players not there yesterday, right? We've gotten to the point now that we're out there keeping track of who's here for voluntary.
Taking a roll, baby.
Yeah, we're driving this. The media are driving this story. Hey, man, let me ask you a question, reporter. If you were voluntary at work on Friday, would you be there?
Well, he didn't come in sometimes when it's mandatory.
I wasn't talking to him. Yeah. I'm looking that direction.
Guilty.
Right? Come on. Voluntary means voluntary. It is what it is. Why do we make this a bigger story than it needs to be?
Because you got to have something to talk about. In
I have lots of other things I could suggest they would talk about other than who's here and who's not.
Like what? Name one.
Oh, the punt return competition. Did you know that there's going to be a very good one this summer? Let's talk about that. The guys who are here for that. Let's talk.
That's not sexy, Brian. Come on. The guys aren't here. They want friction, you know.
Well, I tell you what,
controversy.
I thought Boye put the lid on that pot when he goes, we're not worried about Jalen Ramsey. We know who he is. We know he'll be ready. It's one thing for John to say it, which he has been saying. It's a completely different thing when one of his teammates, maybe his teammate, you know, the all-pro secondary back there, they're not worried about it. Don't be worried about these things. They'll come to play.
Well, and the point you make, Brian, the five guys who are in line for the punt returner job and people who have roles they're trying to figure out or things that they're not sure about, they should be here. When I was in Indianapolis, Reggie Wayne would show up a couple of days during OTAs if there was a new coach, if there was some new wrinkle they were doing, make sure he grasped it. Then he'd be back for the mandatory. He'd be back for the mandatory stuff. He'd be back for training camp. And then he would be there catching 95 balls because he knew what he had to do to get ready.
Right.
Guys who know what they have to do to get ready, I wrote in the quick thoughts, it'll be up on Jaguars.com later on, I think Doug Marone's taking a good approach to this. He knows it's important. He knows there's an element to it that is important in terms of establishing discipline and focus. But he also knows it's not the end of the world if a couple of guys aren't here. And he's handling that balance well, I thought.
I would be here every day because I'm an overachiever.
Yeah,
I have to work.
To
well, I could find something to do. Don't get me wrong. But I'm one of those guys that always thinks and thought that I needed to work harder than the next guy in order to get where I wanted to go. So I'd be here every day. But when you got a guy like Jalen Ramsey who has been better than everyone around him his entire athletic career, hey, he's got other ways to do it. Here's one other point on this. A.J. Boye stood there yesterday and said, I had a conversation with Antonio Brown. He told me where I needed to get better. I needed to go work on that. I chose what I thought was going to get me ready to be my best in the fall. Isn't that what we want? His best?
Yes.
If he is following the path to his best football, who cares whether it's here or whether it's in Atlanta or Charlotte or Houston?
Yep.
Quarterback talk on Monday as well. Nathaniel Hackett spoke with the media, the offensive coordinator. And for Blake Bortles, Hackett just wants him to keep it simple.
I want Blake to play football. You know, I think there's been so many times that he's gone out there and he hasn't been able to just go out there and play and you know, really think about, you know, beating a defense. And I think as the season went on, I think that's kind of where he went. You know, whatever was clicking at that time, he knew that's what he had to do more of, whether it was run the ball, whether it was throw the ball, whether it was, you know, get it to this guy or that guy. And that's playing, you know, that's understanding what the defense is going to do to you, audibling, checking out of things, getting to better plays. I mean, that's where you always want a guy to get.
Interesting now, because Hackett and Bortles and Milanovic are about as tight as you can get now after a couple years together. And you got that feeling the first week of OTAs that Blake had a full grasp of this offense, checking out of plays, a little more advanced than the year before. But don't overthink it. I think that was the point there. Just go play ball. Just be Blake. You know,
well, Blake's at his best, and he's shown that in glimpses over the years when he can get outside the pocket, when he can run when the situation calls for it. I mean, Nate, it was interesting to hear him talk about that because you saw it in the playoffs a little bit. As much as he was maligned for the performance against Buffalo, remember, he ran the Jaguars out of trouble in that game and ran them into the next round with a very good performance running the ball in the second half. A lot of that was because of the wind. But Nate was talking about he figured out what had to be done in certain games to win. And sometimes he threw, sometimes he passed. I mean, sometimes he ran. The next week against Pittsburgh, it was the opposite. He was throwing. He was feeling free and easy. I think Nate believes that you saw a lot more of that kind of Blake. And I heard somebody in another media talk about the UCF Blake. Remember when he was at UCF in the Fiesta Bowl, I think it was, and had a great game and was loose and was doing things naturally and just playing football. And I think that was the key phrase Nate used yesterday. Playing football and doing, I guess, playground-type things. If you're playing basketball, you call him a playground player. But that seems to be where he thrives, and I think Nate wants him to get to that point more often.
Everything seems natural to him. You know, I think he's famously said, I'm not a natural passer of the football. All right, work on that. But his composure in the huddle, his teammates rave about it. You saw him, I thought, at his best in the Pittsburgh game, where he managed every level of the game, whether it was the running game or the underneath passing game to the tight ends early, the deep ball to Keelan Cole. I thought there was a 3rd-and-8 pass, critical moment in the fourth quarter where he found, before the snap of the ball, found the matchup. You can see him on tape as he identifies Marquise Lee in the coverage right there. The confidence level that they have in him, you heard it yesterday from Hackett. Tom Coughlin appears to have that in him. Doug Marrone appears to have that in him. And he's thriving off of that. I have greater expectations from him. Not because of what I've seen from him, but what I've heard from him and the coaches this offseason.
And the reason it's believable, JP, they were talking about his grasp of the mental side of it last year before we all saw it on the field, before it sort of caught up in the second half of the season. You started hearing in October or so, this guy gets it and he's helping everybody around him. And the reason we're succeeding is because of his grasp of it. And it was a little hard to believe at the time because he hadn't really seen it.
That's right.
But then when you heard it and it caught up on the field, it makes you think you're going to see a lot more of it going forward.
And if they have truly upgraded the receivers for the deep ball, the tight ends for the middle, and the offensive line to help the running game, I'm excited to see where that mental combines with the physical talents that are around him now and see how much better they can be.
Daily's Place coming up in June. Some more shows. Logic with NF and Kyle, June 23rd. Tedeschi Trucks Band, the Drive-By Truckers, and Marcus King, June 29th. And then Poison and Cheap Trick, June 30th. Daily'sPlace.com for tickets. Rookie punter Logan Cook joins us in 60 seconds on Jaguars.com Live.
What do you
you call a pack of Jaguars. A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the six local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, Daly's Place, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Wheels of Soul 2018. The tradition begins Friday, June 29th, Daly's Place. Tedeschi Trucks Band with special guests, drive-by truckers. Plus, the Marcus King Band. Tickets are on sale now. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Wheels of Soul 2018.
Jaguars.com Live rolls along. A look at Everbank Field from up high today. JP Shattuck, Brian Sexton, John Osier, Logan Cook with us. Rookie punter, good to see you, man. How's it going?
Good, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, OTAs roll along here, and you're now into your second week of on the field. For a punter, though, it's not like you're out there doing 11-on-11 drills. You're not even kicking every day. How different is this schedule as opposed to the schedule back in Starkville?
It's a little different. You know, we had Coach Bagno back at Mississippi State, and that was a guy who played in the league for a while and coached there. So, and he actually coached under Jody for a year. So him and Jody kind of had the same mindset as far as the practice goes. But in college, there's a lot of busy work, and there's a lot of, hey, you know, uh-oh, Coach Mullen's looking, do something, you know, that kind of atmosphere. So, but here, you know, being around Lambeau and those guys, seeing, I guess, and learning how to be a professional. I think the first day I was running around, you know, shagging balls, and Lambeau had to tell me, look, dude, calm down. Like, stop running. Like, you're a pro. Like, you can, you know, we're over here by ourselves. Like, you know, just get your work done. So kind of learning from those guys and kind of learning the ropes.
Do you see some similarities, though, between Joe D and your former coach at Miss State since they were together?
A little bit. Yeah. Coach Bagno is a very mellow guy. So.
Oh, then there's no comparison.
Yeah, so there you go.
There's no comparison.
So far, I mean, so give us a little bit of some of the main points of the punting game around here that you learned the first few days in here. Is it much different than you had in the past, and what do they really emphasize here in the punting game?
Pretty much, yeah, it's a little different. In college, it was more of a, you know, I'm either hitting, you know, trying to hit a big ball or trying to hit a, you know, a pooch punt inside the 20. Jody's kind of broke it down to different areas of the field, which helps it, you know, from a mental aspect with me, and kind of helps me to know which ball to hit and when to hit it on the field.
Right. How do you work on it during this time of year? Or, you know, it's not like you're going full bore every day. Do you have a schedule you try to keep to stay fresh, or does that not start till training camp, or how does that work?
Yeah, I do. And right now it's kind of, you know, with Memorial Day break and a few different days, practice is getting, you know, changed up a little bit. So I'm trying to find my schedule and my routine, and that's something that me and Jody have worked on different drills and whatnot. So trying to figure out the routine I want to have, and that's something he's very lenient with. You know, he's letting me, you know, tell him what I'm comfortable with and what I'm not comfortable with.
You know, I marvel at how people just focus on the physical part of the kicking game, which isn't as physical as defensive end or running back, but it's the mental part of the game that interests me the most. It's no secret the Jaguars drafted you because at that moment in the AFC Championship game where they needed a big punt, they didn't get it, right?
Right.
That is coming through in the clutch. How do you prepare yourself mentally for doing what you need to do when you need to do it?
Honestly, it's an off-season thing just as much as an in-season thing. We do a lot of stuff, you know, in college especially. You know, now I'm sure we will too here. But we did a lot of stuff at practice, you know, working on last-minute situations as far as you need a big punt right here or you just need to get the ball off. So, honestly, and just one-on-one, working with yourself out there when you're kicking by yourself, just put yourself in those situations. And, you know, I was a pitcher in baseball, and, you know, I've shot free throws to win the game in basketball. So those different situations throughout my life leading up to college have also helped me, I guess, a strong head about it.
I wonder when especially with the kicker, you know, so Josh Lambeau lines up here in overtime to kick a field goal to beat the Chargers, and it got partially tipped. But the crowd is at a frenzied pace, and the game is on the line, and you have to do what you do, like a golfer who swings,
yeah, exactly.
Right? And that does take – is there any books that you read? Is there any way that you sharpen that mental, or is it all just out there when you're working on it?
Honestly, you know, actually Lambeau told me there's a book he wants me to read. He told me that yesterday. So, you know, he's actually helping me, you know, I guess develop more of that mindset. And that's something that before I haven't had anything specific I've done. It's just kind of who I was. And so, you know, maybe Lambeau, the book he gave me will help me out because he's pretty clutch in this.
What is it? Do you remember the name?
I don't actually, but he told me he's going to get it to me this week, so we'll see.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know for sure. Take us through that room. The personalities in the room, the snappers, you got Lambeau, you're in there now. Yep. Different kind of group of guys in there. Huh?
Yeah, three SEC guys and then Colin. So it's a good atmosphere and they're cool guys. You know, we went and grilled out at Carson's house Monday night. So they've brought me in and, you know, that was something before I got here, you know, being at Mississippi State, I was a, you know, team leader, one of the, you know, 10 guys on the team that were pretty much our, you know, leadership committee. And coming in here as a new guy, I was kind of worried about, you know, where I'd fit in and how I'd fit in. But, you know, all these guys are pros and they bring you in fine.
What about the city so far? I know the schedule here for the rookies is a little more exhausting than the veterans around here because you're here a lot. Have you had a chance to get out much? I know you're a big outdoorsman. This is a fishing city. It really is. Have you had a chance to drop a line yet?
Not yet. Pretty much been focused on ball and, you know, focused on, you know, getting comfortable here. And eventually, whenever I get comfortable, I'll drop a line eventually.
Are you in the river? Are you out in the ocean? What do you like?
Well, honestly, I've always freshwater fished, so this is a different environment here. So we'll see.
What about the draft day call? I mean, you're waiting around. You're waiting around. You have a feeling you might get a phone call.
Right.
Where were you? What happened that day?
So I was at my house, and that morning, actually, me and my dad got up to go turkey hunting. It was, you know, right towards the end of turkey season, so we got up.
Can't waste those days.
Yeah, and, you know, I got some buddies who got drafted too, and their deal, they got up and played golf that morning, or, you know, went and just fished, or went and something to relax themselves, and because, you know, kickers and punters and snappers don't go early. And so we actually went hunting that morning, and when I got up and we walked outside, I was putting on my boots about 5 o'clock in the morning. I told Dad, I said, you know, I might be an NFL football player at the end of the day. And we kind of laughed about it, and it was something that, you know, I mean, it was true. And being able to be at the house with all my friends, a few of my friends and my family, it was a big deal.
When did you know it's always fascinating to me. When did you know that you had NFL ability? Did you always have a strong leg, or was it something you had to develop over time and said, I want to do this, or did punting kind of choose you?
Honestly, punting kind of chose me. You know, I did love to kick as a kid. I was a kid on the playground that my friends would get aggravated at every time I grabbed it and just kicking the ball. And but, you know, into junior high, I still kicked. And I punted just because I kicked. So, you know, the kicker has to punt in a small private school. And I think it was around my probably 10th grade year, I actually realized I was going to be a taller mm-hmm. than the average person and could actually have a big lever to punt. And so then I kind of started working on that more and actually fell in love with punting more than kicking. So punting kind of – my body developed me into more of a punter than I thought I'd be.
You, you've had the jugs machine out there the last couple of days. Are they taking it easy on you? You nursing a hamstring? Or when are we going to see you kick?
No, I'm good. Those are actually just for the punt return drills. And I think Jody's kind of, you know, want me to just keep my leg fresh and healthy and everything, you know. Not very strenuous, but every day we do team punt. You know, I'm out there punting. So
you were a kickoff specialist as well. This day, those days done, you think? You
just no.
Keep the blade sharp.
No, I'm keeping them sharp, and that's something that, you know, me, Lambeau's a, you know, a great kickoff guy. And pretty much, if not just this year, maybe, you know, learn under him for a little bit and learn, you know, because in the NFL, in college, Coach Mellon wanted me to just bang it and out the bag every time. He didn't want him to touch it. So that's what I did, and that's what I specialized in. And here it's a little different. And, you know, Lambeau does a good job placing the ball in the corners, and that's something I've had to, you know, be working on these past few days.
We appreciate your time, man. Good to meet you. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
Town, Logan.
Yeah,
good
thank
to see you.
All.
Logan Cook,
thank
you, rookie punter, joining us here on Jaguars.com Live. Ashlyn Sullivan joins us in 60 seconds with her conversation with Marcel Darius and our favorite segment each week. No offense, Logan, for the Logan Cook segment. Top tweets right around the corner on Jaguars.com Live.
Wheels of Soul 2018. The tradition begins Friday, June 29th. Daly's Place. Tedeschi Trucks Band with special guests, drive-by truckers.
plus the Marcus King Band. Tickets are on sale now. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Wheels of Soul 2018.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the six local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, Daly's Place, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
We're back. Jaguars.com Live rolls along. J.P. Shattuck, Brian Sexton, John Osier. Our thanks to Logan Cook, rookie punter. Ashlyn Sullivan joins us on set. What's up?
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Before we get to that, we'll come back to the regional camps, Max. I totally fouled that one up, but it's good to have Ashlyn here. Let's roll with it. You had a chance yesterday on this website to visit with Marcel Darius.
I did.
You did it on social media, but the full interview went up today on the team website. Mm-hmm. He is an interesting character, this Marcel.
I did. So I walked off the field in a new segment we called Off the Field Live with Marcel Darius. We talked a little bit about football and how OTAs are going, but the most interesting stuff was his hobbies off the field, and of course, some photo bombs had to happen. Here's what he had to say.
Let's talk about what you drive to practice every day. I've never seen a dude with more cars than this guy. And they're the toughest things. What can you fit in?
Hey. I lost a lot of weight.
Hey, Tillman.
That's my guy.
Oh my God.
He got the new
panel.
You feel me?
He over here tripping out.
We got you. It's love.
Hey! Which is your favorite car?
My armor truck.
Your armor truck?
My bank truck. It's a Brinks truck, 98 decommissioned. All mechanics, I love it.
All right, and I know you're also a big cartoon guy. If you had to do Scooby Doo or Tom and Jerry, who you picking?
Oh, easily Tom and Jerry.
Why so?
I mean, because they don't have to say anything and they're still hilarious. They can just walk around making facial expressions and you're rolling on the couch laughing your ass off.
So Marcel, obviously great at football, but a lot of hobbies off the field. An interesting guy. Cars, cartoons, music, woodworking. He definitely kept himself busy in Buffalo, to say the least.
Yeah, he can cook and can do all that. I mean, and to have the guys walking out together like that to come into an interview, I mean, it tells you kind of what this defense is all about.
Yes.
I mean, these guys get along on off the field. They're back and forth with each other all day long.
Yeah, they like each other. I mean, that was clear starting early last season. They talked about it. I thought it was a big part of last season's story, and you can see it still happening.
Yeah, the way that they embraced A.J. Boye, and he mentioned mm-hmm. Being glad to be back around that group of guys. You could feel that one.
And Darius came in mid-season last year, too, into the fray.
And sensed what he was a part of
and
embraced it.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you? Went from a team in Buffalo at that moment that you didn't know what it was to here. He landed in the green fields.
That's not the most common thing. I mean, I talked to Marcel maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it struck me, and I asked him about it. You don't always get the high-priced guy who's made his money somewhere else, number three pick, veteran, who comes in and is sort of here during the off season, embracing it, fitting so quickly into a new team. We've all been around guys who've come in and never felt like they're a part of it when they've started off and spent 8 years somewhere else. I told him, I said, it feels like you've been a Jaguar since you were drafted. And he kind of laughed and said, yeah, I fit in anywhere. But I think it is notable. It says something about him and this defense.
Absolutely.
Regional camps coming up, three around the area. Palm Coast and Brunswick, June 2nd, June 9th. St. John's County still out there. That's available June 16th. Register at jaguars.com/regionalcamp. Those are right around the corner. In fact, it's time now for Top Tweets.
Top Tweets. Top Tweets. Top Tweets.
Top Tweets.
Yes, Top Tweets. And last week, Ronnie Harrison was on this program, the rookie safety, and said, was it last week or 2 weeks
It was
ago?
Last week.
It was last
yep.
week. That he's a big fisherman. He loves to fish, mm-hmm. and he proved it this week.
He did. He proved it on Twitter. We were doubting his fishing abilities, but this tweet proves he's a pretty talented guy. Late night fishing went well, hashtag country boy. I don't know why, but that picture kind of grosses me out.
Well, it's catfish in a cooler. Yeah. They are clean fish. I'll tell you, they're bottom feeders, you know?
Yeah, you know your fish, JP.
Yeah, they are.
I feel like fishing has been a big topic these past 2 weeks.
I've eaten a lot of catfish in my day. Yes. So there you have it.
Yeah, I'm not a fisherman, but those looked like they were good fish.
I'm going to have salmon tonight. I'll pass on the catfish.
There you go.
There you go.
Speaking of a guy who questioned the fishing ability last week, DJ Chark called him out on Twitter last week. But DJ Chark on social this week.
Yeah, he posted on his Instagram when he officially became a Jaguar how blessed he was. Dante Moncrief comments on the Instagram, Ruth Chris. He replies back, I got y'all on the snacks. Now, it was never confirmed if he took the wide receiver group to Ruth Chris, but it's the least he can do now, I think.
He will at some point soon, probably, knowing that crew.
It's the least he could do.
Yeah.
You can spend other people's money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I will doubt. I will gladly go if I'm invited.
Because that bill would be $1,500. Easy. And now, could he afford it? Yeah, technically he could afford it. But if I were him, I'd stick with the snacks, too. Bag of pretzels, goldfish for you, big boy.
Mm-hmm. I don't even buy the people snacks.
No, that's why I wasn't turned your direction.
Jalen Ramsey making magazine covers.
Yes, our very own Tag Dickman gave a shout-out to Jalen Ramsey on the cover of East Bay Magazine, which is an athlete's resource center for all kinds of coverage. So in the article, it's 10 things you need to know about Jalen Ramsey. The first one is, Jalen, what are your strengths? He says, everything. Everything is my strength. He goes on to talk about Jalen 2.0 and how he's a different person off the field, and even mentions his high school girlfriend who is now expecting a baby. So that's pretty cool. A little Jalen on the way.
Yeah. He's also humble, apparently. Too. Yeah. No, he's very, very confident. And
his strengths are everything. I like that.
But that's Jalen. That's a Jalen quote.
Yeah. On the field, yeah, humility would not be one of his strengths.
No.
But why should it be?
Yeah.
Shouldn't
Who
be?
Needs
no,
it?
He's good. He's young. He knows it. Good for him.
There you have it. Top tweets in there the books is. For this week. OTAs Thursday and Friday. The dog days of OTAs, if you will.
Yeah, dog days Friday, next week. Basically half done. So
you only have to work a little longer, John.
There you have that.
And then four more next week, three in the mandatory minicamp, the final week of phase three right around the corner. That'll do it for our show today. Our thanks to Logan Cook, Jaguars rookie punter, for joining us. Thanks to you for watching. It's Jaguars.com Live.